Good morning.
We have about 67 devices tuning in this morning, so I want to welcome all of you who are worshiping with us wherever you are. Glad that you are with us, and appreciate everyone that's here this morning. Happy New Year. If we missed you last week, it is still 2022, so we're excited about that. We have a new theme and a new emphasis for this year. And that's a banner up on my left. And today we are going to kind of go a step further with this idea of connecting one another and talk about using our gifts. If you want to turn to Romans chapter 12, this is part of what we got into last week. Romans chapter 12. And, you know, Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and that congregation, he's giving them instructions for, how God wants us to be as the church. And the answer to that is, or the short answer is, God wants us to be connected. He wants us to be a unit, a team, a body. And so in Romans 12, Paul talks about how as individuals, we belong to God. And our lives are sacrifice to God. That's how we are to live. And then a little bit later in verse 3, Paul tells us to be humble. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And then in verse 4, he says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." So we're separate, but we're together. In a couple different translations, each member belongs to all the others, we belong to each other, and each needs all the others. We can't say that we don't need each other. Richard Barrett said, I can share this morning some good news with his family. It wasn't too long ago that he had a job in Arkansas, and everything looked good and positive regarding that, and then things fell through, and quite a bit of hardship for their family during that time. If you've ever had one plan in place and then things change and you have to scramble and where are we going to live? How are we going to get by with income? And so really a trying time, but they have coveted your prayers, and as their church family, we have prayed for them and prayed for them. And good news is that job has actually come back and said, we want you to come, and made a better offer, and he is to start tomorrow. And so Richard and Lisa are ecstatic about this and want you to know how much they appreciate all your cards, your prayers, your thoughts. That's what this verse means, doesn't it? Individually, members one of another. We're connected. Let's read further in this chapter in verse 6. And what we have is Paul says, having gifts that differ. So we're individually, and we have gifts that differ. So before we go any further, you are gifted in something. You are gifted in something. All right? And now tell your neighbor, turn to your neighbor and tell them, you're gifted in something. They may be surprised to hear that. Yeah. And I'm not saying we know what the something is yet, but you're gifted in something. You are. We don't think of ourselves like that. We understand we're different. We understand, some people are just amazing at certain things. We don't know fully how God has gifted each one of us. He has crafted you. He made you the way he made you. But he gave you gifts and abilities and talents. And then Scripture says, according to the grace given us, let us use them. According to the grace, meaning don't get prideful. It's not you, it's God. If you're able to do something someone else isn't able to do, don't be prideful, be humble. And remind yourself that God gave that to you. So we have gifts. Then these last four words that I've highlighted, let us use them. There's another passage in Matthew 25. Jesus tells a parable. And his parable His parable has the exact same message as those four words. But the parable is a lot more strongly worded, and it's the parable of the talents. If you remember this parable, it's about a wealthy individual who went on a trip and he left some money to three different individuals to invest. He left for a time, he came back. He wanted those investments to grow. And the word that's used in Matthew 25, if we read in 25 verse 14, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away." And a talent in the first century was a unit of money, of exchange. And so for us it would be dollar, and it wouldn't be $5 or $3, $1. It would be, or two or one, but it would be maybe, you know, 5,000, 2,000, 1,000. And so if you remember how this parable goes, those servants, the one who had five, and notice he had more ability. Each according to his ability. But the one who was given five, what did he do? He went and invested it. He made five more. Master comes back. Good and faithful servant. Good job. The one who was given two, he made two more. He doubled his. Good job. The one who was given one, what did he do? He buried it. If you've heard the phrase, buried the talent, that's this parable. The one who was given one, now this is a story to illustrate a point from Jesus. But the one who was given one, he buried it, and he said, "I was afraid that I, you know, wouldn't have it to give back to you." And out of fear, he buried it. And the owner was unhappy. And that's an understatement. I can't say how strongly Jesus puts this response from this man, this wealthy man who went on a journey when he came back. So let's read Jesus' words, verse 30. Here's what he said to the one who buried the talent and gave the one talent back. He said, "Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What's that a description of? Hell. It's a description of hell. We're not talking about a murderer. We're not talking about a rapist. We're not talking about a thief, a criminal. We're talking about someone who God gave ability to, and they didn't use it. They didn't use it for God. That's not how we normally think about, you know, setting. If we use the analogy of a team, and we are a team, that's not how we normally think of ourselves sitting on the sidelines. We don't think God would have that kind of reaction. But the phrase, verse 30, notice how Jesus calls him. Jesus doesn't say he doesn't say cast the servant. He says cast the worthless servant. Wow. That's harsh. Worthless. Have you ever gone to use something that you needed and it didn't work? It wasn't going to work. It had one job and it could not do it. And it was not ever going to do it, and so you threw it away. This is how I feel when I need to write something down, and I can't find a pen to write with, and I quickly finally find a pen to write with, and I go to write with that pen, and it won't write. That's how I feel about that pen. It's a thing for me. I know it's an issue for me. I know that. I don't know. I don't understand it, but it irritates me. And I throw that pen away with frustration. Isn't that weird? But I do. I throw that pen away with frustration. And I know it's a lifeless pen, and pens wear out, and they, you know, maybe the ink, I don't know, maybe it wasn't used enough, and so it's not going to work today. But I'm frustrated. This pen has one job. One job. One reason for existence. And it goes straight to the trash. I don't try to get it to work. I don't work with it. To me, it is worthless. And it's hard for us to think of ourselves this way, But that's how God looks at us after he has blessed us so much with each of us. Can you walk? Can you talk? Can you encourage someone? Do you have two arms? Can you help someone? Do you have any financial resources? Do you have any knowledge about anything? Do you know anyone that's struggling? Do you have any way to communicate with anyone? God has given us so much. And he says, I want you to bless others in the kingdom. And if we don't, he considers us worthless. So let's go back to Romans. Read further in this passage in Romans, verse 6. I'll jump back to 6 and then we'll keep going. But having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. So now he'll go into a list of some gifts. I don't have reason to believe that this is a complete list. That you don't have some other ability that's helpful in the church or the kingdom or a way to bless someone. But here's a list of, we have this list. And so the first one is prophecy. And normally when we think of prophecy, we think of someone foretelling the future. We think of prophets in the Old Testament. The application for us here would be, because prophecy means to proclaim truth, and the application here would be a preacher. If you're ability or gift is preaching, then do it in proportion to your faith. In other words, don't be prideful. Don't go further than you understand what is true. In verse 7, if service in our serving. So some are gifted in service. When I think of servants here, one picture comes to my mind, and that is the kitchen across the street when we have funeral meals. And as the preacher, it's a privilege to be a part of those events, to be frequently a part of families grieving at a funeral. So I've seen what you might not normally see, and that is in the kitchen at a funeral meal, I will frequently see Etta Mae, Carol Golightly, Norma Schinnerer, Pat Hess, Connie Ray, Rowena Hancock, Linda Fitzgerald. And there's more. I'm not trying to list them all, but I just wanted to whet your appetite to give you a visual image of servants. Those ladies are gifted in other things as well. But when it comes time, when we need someone to do, they just do. They just show up and do. And the gift of service is just doing. Steve Hess is one gifted in service. From the first time he came here, he made it clear to me, if you need something that I can do, just ask me. I'll do it. I've never asked him to do a job that he looked at me and said, really? We can't get anyone to do that? Steve, could you change this light bulb? Yeah. Yes, I can. And one following in his footsteps, Russell. By the way, I'm going to name some people today. I apologize in advance. No one wants the spotlight thrown on them, and I understand that. I'm sorry. But I ask you to suffer for the sake of the many, because this helps us. But Russell Warren is following in Steve's footsteps. Same thing with Russell. I still remember the first trunk or treat when he came to be a part of this congregation. The very first trunk or treat came around, he said he would help. He showed up before. He said, what do you want? Well, I don't know. We need to stretch these. I don't know what he can do or what he's, you know, I'm sure. And I know Russell, he manages a grocery store. He's capable of way more than what we asked him to do. But I said, I need these electric cords strung around. Okay. Russell Warren will do whatever we ask him to. And he's not offended of any job that might seem menial. That's the servant's heart. That's what a servant is. Mike Plummer comes and sets up chairs and tables for Monday night for the master. You didn't know he did that. He does that quietly. He didn't want me to call his name. I'm sorry, Mike. But that's what a servant does. You need that done? I'll do it. Mike could tear a car apart, put it in your living room, build it back, and make it run. He is brilliant, gifted, able to do a lot of things. But he says, Elliot, you need tables set up? I'll set up tables. That's the servant heart. The one who teaches in his teaching. We have with our children's classes, we have ladies that teach and we have men that teach, and we need more men to teach our children. It's one that, and I understand this, I have taught our children, and I have to really work at it because that's not my gift. So there are some things that we need to do, and it's not our gift, but we need it. You see what I mean? We need someone to do it, so we jump in and do it. And we need more men to get in our classroom. Our children need to grow up seeing godly men teaching also. So it's not just a ladies thing. But I applaud all who teach our children. There are, I don't know that I can name very many things more important than teaching our children about God. It is not easy. Now, some are gifted in it. Some can do it very easily and naturally. And that is wonderful. That's a blessing to us. But we also need those who say, you know, this is not my gift, but I'm willing to learn. Get in there and help someone teaching a class so you can learn and watch. And we have someone doing that right now. She's done that a couple of quarters. And she just said, I'm wanting to learn because someday I want to teach. That's what we need. We need more of that. The men who teach our classes, I applaud them. A week or two ago, I watched the service and watched and enjoyed Jim Brewer teaching in here, and that was broadcast. I enjoy watching Jim teach. He's gifted in that. He's good at it. He's using his gift. So the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts is the ESV, which I don't like this English word exhort for a couple reasons. It's an English word. This was not an original scripture, so I can say that. But it means encouragement, and I don't like it because it doesn't sound encouraging. Exhort, it sounds like someone's getting called down, you know. Someone's getting in trouble, called on the carpet, come to Jesus meeting. That's what it sounds like to me, someone who's good at exhorting people. But it's actually, it means to encourage. And some are gifted in encouragement. Brian Knotts is gifted in encouragement. And I know Sheila turned to him earlier and said, you're gifted in something. And you didn't know what it was. You know, you might not have thought Brian was gifted in something. But I said everyone was. Even Brian Knotts. But he's an encourager. He tells me how handsome I look and nice my fashion choices are. And I like that. And I don't care if he's lying to me. It makes me feel better. That's what an encourager does. Encouraging is needed. And some are gifted in that. And some are gifted in being merciful. Before I get there. Generosity, okay? We have a number of generous people here. I want to talk about them first. And I'm not going to name any of these. This one's especially sensitive because, and Jesus taught us, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. That means when you extend generosity and other ways, but in particular with giving, don't flaunt it. Don't be boastful. We don't do it for show. Oftentimes, people are blessed here by ones who say, give this to someone who needs it, but make it anonymous. So we have anonymous giving. That's the way it should be. It's a great way, wonderful way. And so, but we have a number of people that God has blessed financially, and they are generous. And they do it to help others. I know of one who received that generosity within the past few years, and then when that person who received it got to doing better financially, they turned around and did the same thing for someone else. Isn't that great? Generosity. Some are gifted in this. And your name may not get called. It may not be in the bulletin. But that's not why you do it. That's not why we do any of this. But it is a big blessing and a way to serve and a way to honor God. The one who leads with zeal. And zeal means energy. It means not lazy, zealous, hardworking, do it well. And we have good leaders here. We have good leaders here. We're blessed by that. And we have more coming up who are able to lead, and we need that. Pray for our future leaders. We need more deacons. We need more elders. We need prayers about that. The one who does acts of mercy. And so some are more merciful. Some are gifted in mercy. When someone's hurting and they come up, they're very compassionate. Tom Sism, I think, is gifted in mercy. Has a way to speak a soft word and show that he cares. Mercy. This is an important one because sometimes people are hurting and sometimes people need help. And sometimes it's not easy to help someone. People are not always easy to help or to have compassion on. Let's read further. Verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. There should be a special bond with us in your church family and other Christians in the church, but in this congregation, brotherly love is something that should be very precious to us. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. So again, zeal is energy. Fervent means fire. Be on fire for God. We need to be active. We need to have a bounce in our step. And I don't mean I don't mean so much physically, but in our heart, in our spirit for God and for helping in some way. Some of you help here, some of you help outside of here. But whatever you do for God, do it with energy. Serve the Lord. And I want us to notice, when we serve others, you're serving God. If you come up here and set up tables for an event, you're the only one there, who are you serving? Well, you're serving God, but you're also serving the church. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints. I have to remind us, most of us have plenty. And many of us have more than plenty. And we need to thank God for that. And we need to be willing to share. We need to look for those of our number in need and make sure they're taken care of. And a lot of that happens. But I want to encourage even more of that. It's a beautiful thing. It's a humbling thing. If you can part with some of what God has given you, you're going to be rewarded and find joy in it. Seek to show hospitality. One of the most hospitable people I know is Etta Mae Weathers. Many of you have been in Homer Netta's home, enjoyed her cooking and hospitality. And this is another gift. This is something that with the pandemic, we navigate these waters, and our society has changed. We are less hospitable than we used to be. And some struggle with, I would like to be more hospitable, but my house is rarely in condition when I would feel good about being hospitable because we live in it. See, some of you have things very neat and tidy, and if it's not, it really bothers you. And I applaud you, and I envy you. And some of us live in our homes, and it's not so much that way, and we work at it. And so there is a very real struggle in being hospitable because I don't want you to be offended by my mess. And so here's what I want to say about that. Those who are coming and receiving hospitality, it's not about the place. And it's not about something that's not tidied up to your standard. And if you're hosting, and this is, I'm preaching to me, if you're hosting, we need to care more about people, and the mess will be okay. Tidy up, best you can. If you don't have notice, that's fine. My point is, we need to get over those things and be more hospitable. We need to be more hospitable because there are really wonderful things that happen when we get closer to each other and spend time together. All right, I've got to pick up speed. Ephesians 4:11, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip. So let me back up before verse 12. This list of people, these are, you could consider these gifts of a sort, but what they really are is a collection of leaders. These are church leaders, different types, and for different times. We don't have apostles anymore. Prophets, we do in the form of preaching. Evangelists is also a reference to preaching. Shepherds, teachers, but these are church leaders. And the church leaders have a job to do, and the saints. Who's a saint? Christians are saints. If you're a Christian, you're a saint. So we have two categories here, church leaders and church members, saints, Christians. And so the leaders, their job is to equip the saints. What does equip mean? It means prepare. In a sports analogy, it means coach up. And the leader's job, part of their job, is to equip, to prepare the saints for the work of ministry. And this is what we've been talking about, different ways to serve. Why? Why are we supposed to serve? To build up the body of Christ. To build up the body of Christ. And then verse 13, if you're reading on in your Bible, verse 13 says, until we attain to the unity of the faith. Many of us have been wondering, how are we going to get more unified? Because as I appreciate Gene's prayer, our nation is divided. Our world is divided. And many churches are divided. And our church has experienced some of that attack from Satan. How are we going to get united? One way is this. Serve each other. Serve each other. It says, until we attain to the unity of the faith. Unity. We want to be unified? Serve each other. And then skip down to verse 16. This is what we looked at in detail last week. It says, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. So we talked about this last week. We as Christians are to be, as a congregation, we are to be fit together and then fastened together. Somebody mentioned last week an analogy for us would be bolted on. It's one thing to fit it together and then you bolt something on. Why? You don't want it coming apart. That's how we are to be. How does this happen? When each part is working properly. This is when it happens. We build each other up in love. I was talking to Lisa Barrett yesterday, and she asked me how Shirley Helmers was doing. And so, incidentally, I'll tell you how Shirley Helmers is doing. There's a tumor on her brain that's impacting her movement and her hand and her leg. It's getting worse. It's growing. They did a biopsy Friday, and she's waiting results from the biopsy and to explore treatment options. So it's tough. It's tough. But Elisa was asking me how Shirley is doing, and so I gave her the update, and Elisa told me how much she appreciates Shirley Helmers. And I had no idea the two of them even knew each other. I knew their family members here, but I didn't know they knew each other. I don't know what Shirley has done for her. And if Shirley has good grip in her good hand and gets close enough to me, she'll get her hands around my neck for calling her name and talking about her. I apologize, Shirley. Somebody comfort her right now. But she is gifted in mercy. She loves people. She cares about people. You say, well, I can't do anything. You can do something. We can all do something. That's what God is trying to teach us, is how to do something when each of us are working properly. We have needs. We have things that you can help with. You can help with fellowship meals, funeral meals. We have papers in the foyer. We need more Bible Hour teachers and helpers. Talk to Kristen Tucker. We need more teachers and helpers in our children's classes. Talk to Stephanie Price. We need more helpers in the nursery. Talk to Stephanie Dunn. We need more greeters. Can you smile and open a door? Some of you, that is, you're wired that way. You really are. You love people. Can you smile and open a door? We need more greeters. It's a blessing to walk in this place and have someone open the door and welcome you. It's a blessing. We see Yvette Dunn. We could use counters for class Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights. Steve could use help around the building. We could use help in the area of involvement, trying to get each other more involved. Next Sunday's sermon will be to the saints who are involved. How do you help newer ones or ones that don't know how to get involved? How do you help them to get involved? That's coming next week. I want to close with a video. This is regarding the joy boxes that we did from Hope for Haiti's Children. About a minute and a half video. I want you to see this.
Sweet cousin, and you were here by my side. Bells are ringing and the time is right to celebrate this Christmas. We're gonna have some fun. Merry Christmas to everyone. Now
for those were the joy boxes that we participated in. Anyway, isn't that great? For less than $40 a month, you can sponsor one of those children, help them go to school, help them have food, help them have some medical treatment. It's a big blessing. You can do that. You can set that up. We have our setup on auto draft. I don't write a check. I don't think about it. We know we do it, and we need to do more. But it's you'll find no greater joy, church, than when you're serving in God's name. Okay? So we're going to have an invitation song this morning, and you may be here with a need, something heavy on your heart. You may have been thinking about becoming a Christian, becoming a saint, not being worthy, but being ready to let God forgive your sins and wash them away in baptism. If you have a need, please come while we stand and sing.
Just